Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and it is Wednesday, time to talk sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Meghna. I'm terribly happy to be here.
Terribly?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you're terribly happy. I want to start talking with the World Cup. I can hardly get the words out because
it's exciting.
It was a great tournament. And, you know, it's funny because I was going to say, and we're not going to talk about the soccer ball that Vladimir Putin gave to Donald Trump and whether or not it has a bug in it. Instead, let's focus on the good part of the tournament, which is Vive la France, right?
Yes, indeed.
A 4-2 win. What a great game.
It was a great game. A real slap in the face to people who complain that soccer doesn't have enough scoring and it doesn't have enough action.
There was some
high comedy as well. I mean, it was a game that had a little bit of everything.
It was a good game. The first couple of goals, I was like, it's a terrible way to win if you didn't actually score yourself. But they did, and France did a good job. Croatia really gave them a run for their money, though. I thought it was strong soccer the whole way around. The tournament overall was full of a bunch of great games.
Yeah, this was the last game was not the greatest game.
No.
But it was a very entertaining game. I'll go with you as far as that is concerned. And you're certainly right that there was some magnificent soccer through the tournament. Another entertaining game right at the beginning of the tournament when Spain played Portugal and each side scored three times. Both sides were sort of predicted to do a little bit better than they ended up doing, Spain especially. But what an entertaining game that was.
Although, you know, I have to say, when we hit the knockout round and so many of the games were ending in penalties, that was giving me heart palpitations. I don't really like that.
The purist in me always thinks that when a game ends that way and they have to go to penalty kicks, what I really should do if I were true to my principles is turn off the television and walk away and find something else to do because it's so antithetical to the whole idea of soccer and the flow of the game. But I can't do that. I'm not principled enough, I guess, and I always watch. the fun of the World Cup, to me, one of the most fun aspects of it is that as the games go on, you find yourself rooting for a team.
Yeah.
And you find a reason to root for a team. Did I care when Belgium played Japan who won? Not when I turned the game on, but by the time Japan had scored twice and then Belgium came back, I found myself caring a lot.
Well, speaking of Japan, I mean, Japan was on my list of teams I was rooting for. I was also rooting for Mexico and Senegal as well. None of them made it to the semifinal round. So my one gripe, if I have any, about this World Cup is that all-European semifinal and final. I would love one year for us to have an Asian team, an African team, a South American team, and a European team as the four final team.
Yeah, and it'll happen. It'll happen, and someday the U.S. will be in the final as well. All kinds of possibilities open up. And,
Mr. Optimist.
And especially the next one being in Qatar. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Well, yeah, because it'll be 120
degrees
every day.
And they'll allegedly have these magnificent outside air-conditioned stadiums, which pretty well will do in the planet at that point. I mean, that'll be it. That will be the last chapter of global warming when they start
keeping
60,000
people cool
in an outside stadium.
Okay, but on the other hand, the French team, victorious as they were, also drew some plaudits for the fact that the French team was probably one of the most diverse teams that France has ever put on a pitch, right?
Yep, absolutely. And the diversity is to be celebrated. And there were several people, I wrote about it, as a matter of fact, this week, several people who said this is a terrific way to emphasize oneness. All these people are French as far as playing in the World Cup goes. And all kinds of people, white, black, brown, from Paris and from all the places where the French used to be dominant elsewhere, celebrated together.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I don't pretend that it's going to eliminate prejudice and poverty and unemployment in the places that surround Paris where so many immigrants live. But maybe it will help to open people's minds up to the fact that we are all, in fact, one.
Well, you know who agrees with you on that? This guy.
Not all of those folks look like Gauls to me, but they're French. They're French.
Oh, yes. President Obama in Johannesburg, South Africa, no less.
Yeah, wasn't that great? And anytime I can be spoken of in the same sentence as agreeing with the former president of the United States, I'm very happy to be there.
Well, if he knew we were talking about it, he would feel the same way. Okay, before we move away from soccer, because I will talk about baseball here for a second, but you have actually done a story on a similar theme about diversity in soccer regarding a team in Lewiston, Maine?
We did. Lewiston is a place where a lot of Somali refugees have ended up settling over a period of time, and some of those families included young men who were terrific soccer players, good enough so that they displaced most of the Mainers on the boys' soccer team at the high school and have won a couple of state championships as a result. We did a story, and among the people that I talked to was the coach of that team, who talked to me a little bit about his strategy for getting the kids who were used to being on the team and used to starting to get them used to the fact that they were being displaced by some of these kids who'd moved in fairly recently.
We couldn't be one group and another group, and that we needed to learn how to trust and work together with each other. And I'd mentioned that this is also maybe a good way to be in the hallways at the school and to get to know each other and maybe interact with each other, go to the movies and things like that. We were pretty good before, but that's when we started to get a lot better.
And the beauty of that was that it's a microcosm of something much larger, which is when people get to know each other, they often find out that there's a lot to like in the people that they didn't used to know, the people that they may have been afraid of or may have been resentful of. And to some extent, this happened in Lewiston in this little microcosmic situation. And it was a great story to be able to tell.
Well, I'm really glad you told it. And for all those people out there who just said you spent your entire time talking with Bill about soccer and you didn't talk about baseball, here's what I want to say. We got to wait 4 more years before we can obsess about the World Cup again. So whereas the Red Sox are going to be with us every year.
That's right. And there is a Women's World Cup coming up much more quickly than
that. Oh, okay, good. So maybe just a couple
of
years.
Don't worry about a thing.
All right. Well, Sox fans, I promise we'll get to baseball next week. But for now, I just want to say Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Meg. It's been a pleasure.